Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Hey, we're in week two of Root Issues, What's Killing Your Harvest. And I want to talk to you very just plainly today about the things that could be stopping the fulfillment of the harvest of God has for your life. And by harvest, I don't mean some island in the Caribbean you get to own and go there and live. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about the fulfillment of the reason you were put on the planet. Jesus gave us keys how to live a life where we fulfill our purpose and live our lives in fullness in every area that God promises in our life. But before I do, I just want to take a moment. We have a guest with us today, and Tyler Young's here with us. He's a young man that grew up on the mission field, grew up in the Soviet Union in Moscow serving. How many of you know who Rick Renner is? Yeah, many of you know Rick, and he served there with his parents, grew up there, went to high school there, also speaks Russian, so that's a cool thing. And then as he graduated from school, served there, and then spent 6 years serving in Vietnam as well. Now he and his wife are back in the States, and they're trying to figure out their next steps, so we're really honored to have him. Would you just stand up so we can thank you for your service? Thank him. God bless you, hon. Thank you. Awesome. As he's transitioning into his future, they live in Morgantown. So if you need a young man who's bright that speaks Russian for your company, you never know. There might be somebody here. You let me know. I'll connect the dots, this young man. But anyway, as he's taking his next steps, and so I'm going to get a chance to spend some time with Tyler today. But I want to talk to you specifically about what Jesus said about the kingdom of God. In fact, what I'm going to talk to you today, Jesus said, is about the mystery of the kingdom of God. But he said this, he said, it's for you to know this mystery. And I would submit to you that most Christians don't have any idea of how the kingdom of God operates. They don't understand, it remains a mystery to them. And not only did he just say, I want you to know, he gave us how to know. How many of you have ever watched the movie, The Christmas Story? The little boy with the BB gun, you remember that? And that's a funny movie. But if you remember, they would listen to the radio, and it was set before television and probably in the early 50s or so. When everyone, didn't have TVs, they'd listen to the radio. And he would listen to this spy program, and they would give you a number to write down, but you had to send in to Ovaltine for the decoder ring. How many of you remember when he was so excited, he got his decoder ring. He went into the bathroom and he looked at all the numbers and he wrote all the numbers that corresponded to the letters. And he looked and he thought it was going to be something about saving the world, being a spy. And it said, drink Ovaltine. Do you remember that? And then he talked in an unknown tongue. And he said other things that his father taught him to say, evidently. And he was unhappy. But Jesus has actually given us a decoder ring to understand the kingdom of God. In fact, he said, what I'm about to teach you, if you don't understand it, you can't, listen to me, you can't understand anything I've told you. This is the decoder ring, as it were, to understanding how the kingdom of God operates in the lives of people upon the earth. And so last week we went through the parable, and I'll just quote it to you again. And it's in Mark chapter 4. And Jesus said, behold, a sower or a planter went out to plant. And he planted some seeds by the wayside. He said, but the fowls of the air or the birds came and ate up the seeds, and it produced no fruit. He said, other were sown on stony ground. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun came out, it scorched the plant. And it dried and withered and died and produced no fruit. And he said, still other seed was yet sown on thorny ground, and the thorns grew up and choked the plant, and it yielded no fruit. And then other seed was sown on good ground. He said, the ground held the seed, and it produced some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Now, let me just take a moment. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold simply means this. It means the yielding of that plant. If, let's just say theoretically, and I know tomato plants produce more than 3 tomatoes, but let's assume the full yield of a tomato plant was 3 tomatoes. If that plant produced 3 tomatoes, that would be a 100-fold yield. You got the full yield. If it produced 2, it would be a 60-fold. If it produced 1, it would be 30-fold. So even in the good ground, Jesus said, you produce fruit by degree. And then he pulled his disciples aside and they said, Lord, actually, tell us what you meant by that. What was that all about? And that's when Jesus said, look, this is the mystery of the kingdom. If you don't understand this, you won't understand anything I've said to you. I told you last week as we went through this that he defined the terms. Jesus said the seed, as you'll find here in a moment, represents the word of God. And the ground represents your heart as a believer. The operation of the kingdom of God is understanding how the seed of the word of God works in the heart of a believer. That's the mystery of the kingdom. And Jesus is about to unfold that mystery to us. In Proverbs chapter 4, let me read this to you, inserting the word seeds and ground where you see heart and word. And let's read it that way. My son, give attention to my words or the seeds. Incline your ear to my sayings or seeds. Do not let them, the seed of my word, depart from your eyes. Keep them, that is the seed of my word, in the midst of your heart or in the ground. How do seeds produce? They have to be where? In the ground. For they, the seeds of my word, are life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. So you must keep or protect your heart or your ground with all diligence. For out of it, that is the ground of your heart, springs the issues or forces of life. Or out of your ground grows your garden. This is where most people have their harvest fail. This is where they have crop failure. Because the Bible doesn't just tell us that the word of God is necessary to have fruit in your life. The Bible says that the word has to stay into the ground of your heart. And then the writer said, but you have to protect that ground diligently. Because out of the ground, as it were, come out of your garden, out of the ground comes your food. See, the heart of man is the ground through which the seed of the word of God has to be deposited. But if it doesn't remain there long enough to produce, then you get no harvest. My grandfather was, he was born in Italy, and he was in his 80s when he had a garden in my parents' backyard. My grandparents lived in a trailer behind my parents' house. And that, just if you're getting married, not a good idea. Just, you know, my grandfather would have been fine, but my grandmother, how do you say demon-possessed politely? She got saved at the end, but let's just say devils went to my grandma to find out how to be scary. So she was a scary woman. Okay, Jesus loved her, but she was scary. Okay, well, my grandfather, you know, a garden is a lot of work, and it was a big garden. He was in his 80s. And, you know, if you're 80 years old, that's a lot of work. And there was a kid in our neighborhood, this little kid, he was the hellion of the neighborhood. Every neighborhood has one. How many of you were the hellion in your neighborhood? Yeah, okay, God, it's okay. Jesus loves you. We're all right with that. And he would run through the garden and just tear up the plants. Now, I have four brothers, and the only thing that would get you beaten in my house was messing with the food. You take, you know, five boys and mess with their food, someone's going to die. But we didn't know, you know, he was actually doing this. Finally, my grandfather, being frustrated, comes up to him and he pulls him aside. And he said to him, he said, you can touch anything you want in my garden, but not touch a pepper. This row of pepper is special pepper, not touch. Anything you can play in a touch, but not touch a pepper, special. And he walked away. Well, you know, 2 minutes later, he runs to grab, rubs the pepper on his leg, and poof. These peppers were so hot, you wore gloves when you picked them. He is laying on the ground, screaming, crying, scraping his tongue, finds the garden hose out in the hot sun all day, and puts hot water scalding in his mouth. My grandfather, of course, was enjoying every moment of it. And my grandfather finally went up to him, leaned down as he's screaming there. Finally, he came to himself a decade or two later. And my grandfather leaned down and he said, everything in my garden's a hut. That boy never went in our backyard again. He protected his garden diligently. As a believer, you're going to have to learn how to protect your heart diligently, for out of it flow the forces or the issues of life. And what's the interesting thing about the word of God, which is the seed, it's also the source that gives you the insight from which actually how to protect your heart. The Bible says the entrance of his word gives light. It brings understanding to the simple. He said, well, I don't think I'm simple. Well, I would suggest that we all are. When you understand that word in the Hebrew means seducible. It means that God's word will bring, the entrance of his word will bring lighter understanding to you. Because without the light of his word of God, your heart can be easily seduced. And so Jesus brought us back to the parable and he showed us four types of soil, three of which produce no fruit. And he said, these are the three types of ground that you must protect your heart from. Because even my word will not produce in these conditions. And that's why having the word of God as a part of your everyday life is so important. Because the entrance of his word gives light. It provides understanding to those who are easily seduced, which is all of us. It is so easy to have your heart divided in life. It's so easy to have your heart overcome. So let's look at the four types of ground. The first is called wayside. And this kind of ground produces no fruit. Mark 4:14 says this. The sower sows or plants the word of God. And these are they, or the ones that by the wayside, everyone say wayside, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So Jesus is talking about a type of soil by the wayside. What this tells you, number one, is that it bore no fruit. So God's word, now listen, this is how the kingdom works. God's word that does not remain in the heart of a believer produces no harvest. And then it's very important that you understand what Jesus said, tells you about how our enemy works when God's word comes into our life. He said, Satan is coming immediately to take away your seed or the word. The work of the enemy is designed to take the word of God out of the ground of your heart, because you can play garden all you want. If you have no seeds, you get no harvest. Wayside ground is ground that, if you will, has no expectation of anything happening. Nobody seriously plants a garden expecting a harvest or a field by just, as they walk, taking precious seed and just kind of throwing it. There's very little expectation. In fact, the reality of it is this, is that wayside ground is indifferent to the power of God that's in that seed. Jesus said this in that same chapter of Mark when he said, what shall I compare my kingdom to? He said, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds. Yet when it is sown, it grows into the largest plant of any herb. Basically, he was saying this. Here's how my kingdom works. My seed is basically invisible. It's the smallest of seeds, but it has to be sown into the heart. Wayside ground is overcome by the smallness of the seed. Wayside says, I'll give it a shot, but... And they don't have any confidence in the veracity of God's word. They don't understand that every word from God has power inherent within it to bring to pass whatever it promises. But it has to stay in the ground long enough. So it's very easy to miss the understanding that the seed matters. That's why again and again and again, I encourage you to make church a priority in your life. I'm busy, it's no big deal. If you understand the kingdom, it's a big deal. Getting the seed into the ground of your heart is everything. Because without it, you don't get a harvest in the kingdom, period. That's why again and again, as I encourage you to get into a small group, how easily indifferent we can become to the things of God in our life. I'm just a little busy right now to deal with the seed of the word of God thing. You know, I have important things to do in my life. And yet Jesus said that when the seed stays in your ground of your heart long enough, it gives you a harvest beyond your wildest imagination. And I've got news for you. I don't care how smart you are, how hard you work. You'll never get beyond your wildest imagination. You might in one or two areas, but not the full circumference of your life. Jesus wants your life from one horizon to the other to experience harvest. Because he made you for a purpose. That's why when I encourage you to get into a small group, it's so important. Three things I've really encouraged everybody. Now, we have small groups that cover every imaginable topic, and we have activity-based small groups, but there's three. I've always said to people, please, actually four, life, living in freedom every day is one. We have another one that's called Faith Life Training, that it's a pretty extensive, but boy, it's so important. And then we have the two that I encourage everybody who's married or and has kids or plans to have kids, go through the marriage small group and go through the parenting small group. Because listen, the smallest of all seeds, the Word of God, will be put into the ground of your heart. If you want to have a successful marriage, you've got to have the Word of God in your heart on that subject. If you want to be a successful parent, you better have the Word of God in your heart on that subject. If you want to have balance in your life, you better know what God's Word says. That's why a daily devotional life is not a religious duty. It is life to you. Because Jesus said, here's the work of the enemy to get you to minimize the value of the seed because it's the smallest of all the earth. Secondly, he said, there's stony ground. Stony ground also produces no fruit. In Mark 4:16, Jesus said, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, listen, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble, they fall, and they give up. Again, I want you to see what Jesus is saying. Here's the operation of the kingdom of God. The enemy of your soul is coming for the seed. Wayside ground, he comes for the seed. Stony ground, he's coming for the seed's sake, the word's sake. He said, but what happens in stony ground is that the plant grows, but when difficulty comes, people are overwhelmed by the difficulty and they give up on the word of God in their life. In actuality, what occurs is they don't know how to exercise what the Bible calls patience. Now, patience is not the ability to wait. Patience isn't some, you know, virtue that you, quote, have that just gives you the ability to stand there and get your brains beat in for a long time. Patience is, its actual meaning is the word steadfast. See, the kingdom operates this way, Jesus said. Seed, time, harvest. Is there anybody that's ever planted a seed, I don't care what you've grown, that in 2 days you had a harvest? No, he said, this is how my kingdom works. It doesn't work by throwing a prayer in the air, running and saying, hey, God, hopefully something will drop out of me, you know, out of heaven. Like ripe cherries falling off of a tree. He said, no, you've got to put the word in the ground of your heart. You've got to protect your heart diligently. You've got to put my word in you that even gives you the light and understanding to protect your heart. And you've got to protect your heart from being wayside. You've got to protect your heart from being stony, that indifference or that ability that when trouble and test and trials come, that you just say, well, these are too overwhelming. And you don't exercise the fruit of patience. And here's all patience is. Patience is the ability to stay steadfast, trusting the power of God in his word. Once you plant, until you harvest. Patience is the ability to stay connected to faith, the faithfulness of God through the process. Is there anybody here that's ever felt that way? Anybody here ever felt like the give up factor? Am I the only one? Anybody here ever had issues and things and busyness in your life to the point where you're like, I know God's word's important, but I'll get around to that some other time. Anybody here ever been indifferent to the word of God, putting it in your life, living it out of your daily life other than me? Anyone ever deal with indifference? Anybody here ever deal with tests, storms, trials that come and make you just kind of, man, I just got to get through the day. And you're going to push through the storm on your own. And before you get through that storm, another one comes. Before long, you're just like, oh, God, just get me to heaven. And he said, and they give up and they quit. It's the temptation of everybody. Thirdly, Jesus talked to us about, if you will, thorny ground. And he said this. These are they, the ones that are sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word of God. And yet the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering into the heart, choke the word. And the word of God becomes unfruitful. So you see wayside, stony, thorny ground, none of them produce. This is Jesus telling you how the kingdom works. If the condition of the ground is not appropriate, if it's wayside, stony, and thorny, it doesn't work. Doesn't matter how many people that are praying for you on Facebook. I've got 76 likes on my prayer request. Awesome. Where's the seed? Well, I don't have any seed. You don't get a harvest. I'm trusting the Lord. What scriptures are you standing on? What scriptures promise you what you're trusting God for? Tell me them. Well, nothing in particular. Well, you'll get nothing in particular. Why? Well, if I said to you, I have a garden, you say, what'd you plant? Nothing. But that's a pretty garden. How about this? Y'all pray for my garden. I put it on Facebook. I've got 7,000 likes and 76 comments that they're going to pray for my garden. Any seeds in the garden? No, we're just trusting the Lord. You would say, hey, big boy, ain't getting no harvest. I don't care who's praying. No seed, no harvest. Something's growing in thorny ground, but it's not the word. It's the thorn. And how about these three things? Jesus said, these are the things that will grow in your heart and will choke my word out of your life. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. It will enter your heart, choke the word of God. You won't bear fruit. Cares of this world. Anybody ever have any problems that make you anxious? Anybody or just me? Anybody ever have any cares and weights and anxiety come upon you? Why does the Bible then, is there a reason why the scripture tells us to take all of your care, all of your anxiety and cast it upon him, for he cares for you? Do you know the Bible actually tells you how to deal with the cares of this world? Do you know the Bible tells you how to deal with the deceitfulness of riches? See, there's nothing wrong with money. Money's not wrong. If money were wrong, God's partner to the crime, because I can show you many, 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 many places in the Bible where God made people rich. If it's wrong to be rich, it's wrong to make someone rich. Yeah, but money's the root of all evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. The deceitfulness of riches is that you believe making money is more valuable to you and will produce a greater harvest for you than the operation of the word of God in the heart of a believer. And you start to make value decisions based on money instead of on putting the kingdom first. See, the whole operation of the kingdom of God is God's word first place in your heart. Does it govern your choices? Are you persuaded to its veracity and truthfulness? The deceitfulness of riches can easily cost you and cause you to even make value decisions because, well, you know, look, in business, you can't be completely ethical and make money. Really? Who told you that? You mean the one Jesus said that's coming to steal the seed? Yeah, but listen, you live in the church world, you live in fantasy land, get out in the real world. Oh, you mean the one God made? You mean God can't deal in your environment? He's just too weak and impotent? You mean trusting him isn't enough? Well, it can't be enough. You don't know where I... Really? You know you're going to be dead in a few years and you can talk to him about it? How'd you like to look at God and say, I just didn't think your word would work over there? He said, look around, big boy. Yeah, just... Are you serious? How easy can it happen? The deceitfulness of riches. People too busy to put God in their life because they need to make money. How many of you need money? I need money. How many of you have bills? How many of you have kids? Good Lord, what you have kids. They ought to put a money funnel on a kid when they come out. And buddy, as they get older, the funnel gets bigger. These things are important. It's not that they're unimportant. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all this stuff I'll add to you. But that takes trust. That takes putting God first place in my heart. Anybody ever been tempted not to do that? How about this vagueness and the lust or desire for other things? Well, seriously, other things, Jesus? Can you be more vague? Here's all he's saying. Anything that you devote yourself to that you believe is going to bring you better or greater gain then the operation of the word of God in your heart is choking the word of God in your heart, and you're going to be unfruitful in the kingdom. You know, as a pastor, and I mean this sincerely, if it would work, I would go to each person's house in this church, and I would get on my knees, and I would beg you, I mean, I would beg you if you have kids, beg you to put the word of God first place in your family, to put coming to church first place in your family life. It's so easy to get divided. It's so easy to get too busy. Because what you don't know if you're raising your kids that I know being 56 is that you would love to go back when you're my age and say, I wish I would have put the word of God in my children. Because if you think your kids are going to navigate through this world with just head knowledge and an education they get in this crazy world, you think you're going to be successful in marriage without the power in the word of God in your heart? It's so important. That's why we have the Our Church Experience. Starts next weekend. 3 weeks. Instead of coming in here, you go right to the Our Church room. And it will help you to actually get planted in this church. And if you need information right when you leave today, out these two center tunnels, you'll see tables right there. It says Our Church, give you information. You don't even have to sign up. You can just show up. And in 3 weeks, we'll tell you how to get planted. We'll tell you how to take your next steps to find out what God has for you and what you have for God. I'm just a little, Pastor, look, I'm just a little busy. Jesus said, that's the operation of my kingdom. Wayside, stony, and thorny will cause you to be unfruitful. And then he said, there's a type of ground that does produce, and that's good ground. And let me read it to you in Mark 4, verse 20. But these are they, the ones sown on good ground. Everybody say good ground. Those who hear the word, now listen, accept and keep it. All that means is this. Somebody who let the word of God or the seed stay in the ground of their heart long enough for the seed to produce. Remember, the power isn't in you. That's why when God does something great through a person's life or in a person's life, they take no glory. Because the ground doesn't produce, the seed has the life in it. And yet it has to be in the right conditions for the seed to flourish. He said, in good ground is one that accepts and keeps the word of God, and then it bears fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some produce 100-fold. And I love the message to the 100-fold. It said, and a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. Even good ground produces fruit by degree. Even when your ground of your heart, listen, this is how, Jesus said this is how the kingdom operates. But do you know how most people think it operates? They just hope. Maybe something will happen. Hey, y'all pray. Somebody pray for me. And they have no understanding of how the kingdom works. If the word of God is not being sown into the ground of your heart on a continuum, and if the ground of your heart is not being protected, well, protected from what? Jesus made it really clear. The entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to those who are easily seduced to the other three types of ground. He said, here's how you protect your heart. You protect it from being wayside, stony, and thorny. You're going to be tempted in these three areas. When you see them, you'll have to make value decisions that will be enabled by my word in your life, which will give you light. Every word from God. Do you realize even the word of God that tells you how to overcome these issues carries power to empower you to overcome the issue? It's a never-ending cycle of the empowerment of God, to the grace of God, to the glory of God. And he will build something out of your life. And listen, it doesn't matter how you start. Well, I didn't have a head start in life. My parents abandoned me, or I went through this, or I went through that. That is terribly unfortunate, and my heart grieves that you went through anything that was that unfair and that type of inequity, but it doesn't have to define you. The word of God sown in your heart can begin to tell you who you are, and you'll begin to discover who you are based on what he did for you, not based on what you thought you should have done for him or what someone else didn't do for you. See, this is next week, I'm going to take the time and show you where getting your prayers answered are connected to this principle. How many of you would like to know what the Word of God says about getting your prayers answered? I'm not talking about theory. I'm talking about live your life where God moves in your life and what you trust him for comes to pass. How many of you think that would produce, maybe, is that of any value to anybody? I'm going to tell you this next week. I'm going to show you where Jesus said, getting your prayers answered actually is a way to glorify God. And I'll show you next week how these principles literally in Scripture tie together. And yet what most people think when it comes to answered prayer, it's just a shot in the dark. Throw it up to God and walk a little bit and see God doing anything. Well, I guess not. Must not be his will. How do you know? Well, he didn't do anything. What if I told you? You say, John, how'd your garden work this year? Didn't get anything. So did you plan anything? Well, no. But I was trusting God. I prayed over the dirt in my backyard. I went out every day, never saw a thing. So you didn't get any harvest? Must not have been the will of God. You say, why do you conclude that? Well, if God wanted me to have tomatoes, he'd have given them to me. Now, if anybody told you that naturally, you'd shake your head and say, bless their heart. Right? But people do it spiritually all the time. It's critically important that we understand This is not some religious theory. This is how Jesus said to live your life. And he said it produces great fruit and great harvest. I want us to pray and trust God right now together. Remember, the way we do the service now, the service isn't winding down. We're about to transition to where we trust God by the power of the Holy Spirit to move through this room. Same amount of time. You say, well, I need to go. Remember that wayside thing? Are you really that busy that you can't let God 15 more minutes? Think about the things. We all deal with this. I think getting out of church early is a bonus. When I'm in a service and they get done early, I'm like, yes, I'm a guy. We risk our lives to get there 20 minutes early. It's just guys. But you see how easily we can like, okay, hey, where we park, let's go. Everyone get your stuff. I understand. We pull off, we're driving on the interstate, we're pulling off the exit. I said, put your shoes on. It's like a pit stop. Get out of the car, we're here. I get it. But how about now you're in church, why don't you just let Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do in you right now? And just give him a little bit of time. And forget about tomorrow. Forget about being wayside, stony, thorny. And let's just purposely walk in some good ground right now. I want to pray for you. Give people an opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. And then we're going to worship the Lord together. We're going to go into his presence and worship. And we're going to see what God wants to do by the power of the Holy Spirit in this room. I believe when you come to church, it ought to change your life. Amen. How many of you believe God with me? Coming to church ought to change your life. Because we meet with God in this place. Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. I pray that no matter how they've come into this room, whether they may be battling wayside, stony, thorny, or otherwise, that we will understand how the kingdom works. That though it is the smallest of all seeds, when sown in the good ground of the heart, will produce a harvest beyond our imagination. Father, I pray for people, no matter where they find themselves in that spectrum today, that we will humble ourselves under your mighty hand, and we will not exalt anything above you. And I pray that as we walk these roads, that seed and then time and then harvest will begin to abound toward our lives. And not just us, but our kids, even our grandkids. And I speak your favor and blessing over every person under the sound of my voice. Every head is bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life or your heart's far from God, I want to give you the opportunity to pray with me to invite Jesus into your heart. Listen, he turns no one away. That includes you. The first seed you have to receive is the seed of the Son of God, who gave his life, he in fact said, as a seed, so that you could know him. If you're here today and you don't know what would happen to you if you drew your final breath and slipped into an eternity, would you spend it with or without God? Jesus said there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And he said, I am the way, truth, and life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Only Jesus has paid the sin debt that was owed you and me. So if you're here today and you believe he is the Son of God, died, buried, rose from the dead, and yet you don't know that you've ever invited Christ into your heart and you want to give your life to Christ and receive that new life and become a child of God, your sin washed away, or perhaps you have been a believer, but yet you've fallen in so far from the heart of God and you want him to restore that to you today and to forgive you and cleanse you and put you back on a path of right standing with him from your heart, where you know that you're cleansed and you're not bound to anything behind you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're in any one of those conditions today, I will pray for you right where you're seated. Just heads bowed, eyes closed. Just quickly raise your hand where I can see it, and I'll pray for you right where you're at. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. Thank you, thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. Listen, if you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. We'll all pray it together with you. Say it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you by Jesus Christ. Jesus, you died for me. You shed your blood for me. I open the door of my heart and my life, and I make you the Lord of my life, and I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for coming. I am now your child. My sin is washed away. I am brand new in you. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand. The best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.